Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. Introductions. Terry Wall, Wallen Associates.
Alice Soy, Development Engineer.
Steve Bacon, Clark Regional Wastewater.
Don Hardy with WSP.
Eric Molino, Ex Engineer.
Don Russo, Schwabi Williams, and Wyatt.
Mike Oder and Olson Engineering.
Jeff Rustin, thanks for help.
Ann White and Ross Brown.
Jenny Husley, Jordan Ramis.
Melissa.
Melissa Tracy, Development Engineer.
Chris Carl, Capital Program Engineer, Clark County.
Houston Ajo, Alvin Schechter.
Rod Sponson, Clark County Public Works.
Susan Wilson, Company Public
Works. And Ryan Kinser, the IA.
Thank you. DEEB meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the DEEB's website. Anyone on adopting the minutes from last month's meeting?
I have some corrections to make, Mr. Chair. Under the complete streets update, the fourth bullet, there are two references to clean street program that need to be corrected.
First and last.
The first sentence, the first line and the last line.
Should be complete, yeah.
Complete streets. And then under, on the second page, under the development agreement procedures, under the fourth bullet, we talk about the, they mentioned the motion in here. In the third line, it says the duration instead of saying for earlier, and then there's SYS in there. I don't know what that means. And I don't know if it's clear in here that we did make a motion to include language in there to say, to give a duration and include the language unless otherwise specified. The motion's already been made and that's been passed on to I think, PC and the board. So probably not that big of a deal, but I don't know what SYS means in there.
We'll verify that.
Okay, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Ali, I'll direct to you for upcoming events.
Sure. The county council meeting is still on first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. October 1, 2019, public hearing starts at 6 p.m. Clark County Council work session October 2nd. These are past.
Yes.
Melissa?
Yes.
Do you know why we have the
October 1st? Because we sent it out.
First and second. Okay. Should I skip that?
Yeah.
Any interesting news? You want to go back? Okay. We move forward. Today, October 5th, 2019, start time at 6:30 for the Planning Commission public hearing. The topic will be Transportation Improvement Program, Complete Street, CPC 2019-00025, Northeast 106th Street to Northeast 100th Street. Arterial Atlas, Title 40, Appendix F, which is Highway 99 Saverio.
And I believe that's the one that they're removing from the arterial.
Right. Then the other topic is Historic Preservation Code that will be discussed on October 8, 2019, start time 6:30 p.m. The discussion will be on capital facilities, plan amendments, and impact fees. The other topic is 55 Northeast 179th Street area, urban holding overlay renewal. On October 17, start time 6:30 p.m., amendments to the comprehensive road management plan. 2015 to 2035, the zoning map and Title 40 as a response to the DMHE final decision order regarding the rural industrial land plan, CPC 2019-00082, and GLA compliance for rural industrial land. I'm sorry, GMHB, do you know what?
Growth Management Hearings Board.
Oh, okay, thank you. I did not know that. PC work session October 3rd, that's tonight at 5:30 p.m. The discussion will be on Maple Creek R10, R5. I believe it's zone change and GMA compliance for rural land, industrial land bank. October 17th, start time 5:30 p.m. The discussion will be on shoreline master plan update. And that's all we have for upcoming events in October.
Hey, Jamie, is the hearing on the 79th overlay, is that a second hearing? That was done. On the 8th.
No, it's
continuation.
The continuation of some things that we have to do procedurally. So I will be both under member announcement. I was going to be in attendance both at October 8th Planning Commission meeting as well as October 17th Planning Commission meeting. I can report back next month.
Okay, great.
The specific. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, member announcements with that. One of the things I wanted to touch on, if once everyone can go through, is just some things that we want to cover. We're lighter than we should be on agenda. So what are some topics we want to tackle that we haven't or need to dig back in on?
Are we light on agenda? Normally we have an idea of what our agenda looks like going a month or two forward. Are we still pretty light going?
Yeah. There were a couple of things that Russ was mentioning that they weren't prepared for, staff wasn't prepared for.
Historic preservation.
And the corner lot site distance.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask about. I know that was going to be coming up.
I think those are the only two that
I... Yeah, actually, Ijaz Khan, who is our traffic engineer, is working on some standard details.
Okay.
And he's looking at all the comments that have been made by ATS last time and try to present what the county would like to do. And hopefully, there will be a discussion about that. They weren't ready this month, today, so I'm hoping that they will be presenting next
month.
I think buildable lands, I think there's a consultant the county's hired, but that'd be good to hear an update as to where that's going.
I'd like to know.
They hired a consultant?
I believe they have. They went out for an RFP. I'm assuming they've hired a consultant for the county.
Yeah, I know that. I think Eric and I are on the short list for that committee, and I'd like to get an update from Oliver where we're at with that. I'm starting to get a lot of calls about it.
I know Eric and I, we had a conversation with the mayor of Camas, and there are some other conversations as it relates to other jurisdictions that are within Clark County that would be good to understand impacts and then make sure those other jurisdictions are aware too, not just for Clark County. So. Anything else?
Are there any, I've heard rumblings again from staff at my office with regards to the final plat process. Jeff, I don't know if you've heard the same thing or experienced the same thing or if that...
Keep going.
Well, no, I was going to bring it up on behalf of Jocelyn. She kind of bent my ear the other day and said, hey, maybe it's time to get the band back together and sit down and work through some things.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up because it's been a while. I haven't heard a lot of complaints, but I haven't been in Clark County too much in terms of development or Ridgefield. So I mean, if there's issues, then yeah, we had a. I know Jama. You said Jocelyn, Jama. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, we were. I think it's on our deal to periodically review that anyway. So.
And it's and she said it's been for like forever.
So. It has been. It's been a while. Yeah, because we've all gotten very busy, and yeah, it's been a while, and everyone. I haven't been kind of quiet, but it sounds like you're.
And just from what I've heard from her, and it might be just a one-off situation, but if she's experiencing it, and it wouldn't surprise me if others are experiencing it.
Yeah, let me check.
Everybody else is, if anybody else is experiencing how things are going with them, or if anybody's got any land divisions going on in Clark County right now, in the final thought process.
Yeah, I can send out the, you know, I have the email blast for that group.
Okay.
And just take their temperature and see how it's going.
That'd be great.
And see if it's a...
Yeah, get a hold of Jocelyn and see if she feels that it's necessary and Jamie and whoever else is on the group.
Absolutely, no. Well, I think it's always good to periodically review because things are, the process changes a little bit. And the other thing, I know that building permits, I don't know, again, the permit center and our purview and all that, but I know building permits were... I don't know where they're at this point, but 5-6 weeks or something
yeah,
like that. Yeah.
Speaking,
it's a long time.
I happen to have my own project going on right now, and when my contractor said, well, they're up to July.
Yeah.
Doing, and this was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was like, oh, really? So, yeah, I don't know if that's a staffing issue or a... the amount of permits going through right now or what?
I've heard it's a staffing issue, but again, if that's something, I mean, that is something that we've reviewed. It used to be a big, you know, several years ago, it was a huge topic. And it was, then it was wait times and things like that, but, you know, I think the wait times have gotten, that system is working better, but they're...
Yeah, my experience with that has been that the wait times are pretty...
But it's backlog, and what I understand is that it's a staffing issue that... I don't know if something has changed with the county. Where hiring is more difficult now. It's like a 24-month process or something like that. Am I exaggerating? Tell me I'm exaggerating. It's a long time though. For them to be able to hire someone just so that's what we can do about it. I don't know. I think Mike's trying to do what he can do, but he needs staff. So.
Okay.
I think if we're at least discussing it and bringing it up, and we can
keep our finger on the pulse.
I think that would be, that's the purpose of what we're
absolutely
to do. So at least we can communicate that, hey, this is where it's at, and this is what the issues are.
Maybe have Mike come in and just give us an update on how things are going and what the times are and the reasons behind it.
Houston, are you guys?
Or Ryan?
Or Ryan?
We hear your name. Wait, that wait is pretty long.
To get the permit, right?
Just to get the appointment.
Or just get the appointment? Yeah, I don't.
They're running 2 or 3 weeks right now.
And I honestly, I'm not sure if the lien process is still in place and whether or not
it's
working or whether it's all broken because everything's.
It's got its downside. You can only apply for it next to the day.
Right.
So if you can.
15 production, okay, you can appointments for it. In 3 weeks out, so you'll start. Typically, you'd see the 3 weeks out peak season,
you know, March, May, June. People, right now, it's typically not this long of a wait. It's usually
within the last
year. 3 to 4 days, you can appointment. And are they just doing appointments still on Wednesdays? Or? No, Lena's appointment.
Oh,
yeah. We want something next month would be, you know, to put Mike on and
yeah,
see.
Yeah, update on the lien process.
And see what, you know, the lien process, staffing, and all that, because
My understanding on the lien process as well, and especially since we have newer people on staff, is that the experience people can have within the lien process can vary dramatically depending upon who you get staff-wise.
Yeah.
So that, I think, would be a conversation of, can we do something to help to make them more consistent? And maybe where are the issues maybe that we tend... Yeah, Ryan?
Yeah, so clearly, one of the issues is, as you guys recognize, they have a staffing shortage.
Yeah.
The reason is it has people leaving, not able to fill those quick enough. I'm not sure what the reason behind that is. It might be a new process. And I believe they're putting the same one person in the staffing in the room to get up to speed and knows what they're doing.
Okay.
Not moving people in and out.
Good.
To address this problem. We had a conversation, I think, 3 weeks ago. We do a monthly meeting with staff, and that was a conversation they want. They need to get those numbers down. That's the attempt they're doing right now, but I think the biggest outline issue is the fact that their numbers are down for employees in that section.
Okay.
The permit center is it ripe for being poached? I mean, is that where people start and then
they move up
technicians there. Or whatever and then move up? Okay. Then maybe they've been poached too. I don't know.
Well, I think within the county and other positions, yeah, migration and then bringing down.
But I did hear, and I think it was from the same Chuck Wald, I'll go to those. Mike Curtis has that lunch. Or whatever, the county, whatever that they call it. I don't know what it's called. But that's they were talking about that. So if we really want to pick a scab on something, that you know, that might be a good time filler for sure.
Yeah. And some of these things, too, we can...
And then final flat, I'll check on. Too.
We'll ask the question. This is the same thing that...
I've been thinking of that.
...your predecessor enjoys. We would talk about...
I think we're going to do it every 6 months.
...items, and then we would talk about eight items. So I don't
want to... we've still got a few months left.
But yeah, no. Okay. So we don't months have to do this next month. They can't stagger out.
Right. We can hear. Which one's the whole thing?
I think the building permit was the priority.
We can invite Mark.
Yeah, that would be great. One question. I know the thing that I'm hearing is this is a question I have. I'm not saying this is an issue. I'm just asking questions. On building inspections, building inspectors going out, they note items that need to be repaired. A different inspector comes out. He checks those items, and then he comes up with another list of other items. I would understand that related to life safety and major structural defects, as far as. But is that something that's just that to me didn't seem like that? That seemed unusual to me on process. I'm sure, but maybe it's commonplace. And that's what's the comment? I guess I'm just asking because I've heard complaints about it, but I don't know. If that's just, I'm hearing it, no one else is hearing it.
Classic another bite at the apple situation.
Yeah.
That's been occurring for a couple of years.
Yeah.
To where you get a different inspector, they'll look at different things, they'll write stuff up. You think you're ready to go, you've got it all corrected, you're scheduling subs for the next thing. And
wham, right.
Wham, you got to stop.
What happened to the digital...
Sherlock,
yeah,
where they can use the individual stuff. That's only for small little things.
Small.
And,
okay.
Is that a topic that we want to broach, or
I would think it's in our purview, but.
Maybe it's appropriate to ask the question when we meet tomorrow on the permitting timelines, and we can see if it's something we want to tackle or meeting.
Oh, you mean next month?
Next month.
You said tomorrow.
I'm like, oh my God, tomorrow's already ugly. What do we have?
We're going to work through our backlog.
Put it on the back burner, maybe, light by ear.
Okay.
I think one thing just to add to that conversation, it'd be good to get to the financial part of this. Does the county have the revenue to hire the staff, assuming that they exist? It's a tough market right now. It's a very tough market. I mean, even on the private side, there's a lot of people leaving and people being hired. It's a dynamic situation right now.
Yeah.
It is.
So, just to recognize that at the county, I mean, it may be the fact they can't fill the positions, and would that be enough? And do they have the purse strings to hire more if they, you know, theoretically could do that? So.
What I'd heard in a second hand, and we can ask Mike, was that there's something has been also added to the county hiring process of taking a little more vetting or a little more time to get through, or maybe it's just been a long process. I don't know, but it you're right. It's a tough market, and if your process takes a long time, then you're just making it harder on yourself if you can't.
Yep.
You know, yeah, you're losing. You know, people will go to the path of least resistance.
They put in some software, you know, so the process may have been maybe chugging along to where they may have to look at the process and go through and say, how can we handle exceptions so that
you know, an inexperienced person can just go through this and
actually,
check.
Yeah, what happened is that if it wasn't budgeted, it has to go through the county manager to get a formal approval and
any
additional staff.
Yeah, okay.
I think they approved like two positions. They even interviewed people in California, offered them a job. They put out right at the last minute. So it's not like they are not trying.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else? We'll move on. Moving on, updated 6-year TIP and ACP.
And I manage the transportation assistance program, the public works programming. So we're in the process of updating our 6-year transportation improvement program. It's a state mandated program that's adopted in front of our county council each year. So today we're going to talk to you about some guiding principles, legal requirements, the capital facilities plan versus the TIP, and how projects get onto the transportation improvement program. The evaluation system, funding charts, the areas of capital and revenue, and then also the construction schedule and next steps. So the guiding principle that our current council has set on this program is we pay our debt service. We look at safety and preservation of existing assets, and then we go on to our capital projects that are like large capital improvement projects such as like 119th Street, 179th, those types of projects. Legal requirements, like I said earlier, this is a state mandated document. It is to be adopted by the council before the budget is adopted. We must have a priority programming. So what we do is we evaluate all the projects. And we'll go into the evaluation system in this presentation. And then, so how does the project get onto the transportation improvement program? First of all, it starts with the comprehensive plan. And we look at arterial atlas subarea plans, and then it goes on to the 20-year capital facilities plan. So we take all the capital facilities projects and we rank those with safety, mobility, economic development, permitting, that type of stuff. And then we create the 6-year transportation improvement program. Most of the rankings, you know, the top 10, they're within decimal. They're all great projects. It's just that we can't build everything at once. And then it goes on to our annual construction program, which is the first year of our transportation improvement program. And then we create capital road projects, and we start the scoping and design and permitting on projects. I'll go ahead and hand it off to Chris to talk about the evaluation criteria.
Thank you, Susan. Chris Carl, Capital Program Engineer of Clark County. Susan mentioned through the process of getting it from the Capital Facilities Plan into the TIP, we have an evaluation system criteria that we rank the projects based on some various elements. Safety, economic development, and mobility are the larger three. Also, these scoring parallel our granting agencies. So if we apply for a grant for a specific project, we're in line based on how we rank these projects to score better for a grant. This scheme here is for larger capital projects. We also have similar scoring when we get into our ongoing programs, whether it be a sidewalk program or safety program, for example. But some of the factors under safety, collisions, unfortunately, injuries and fatalities get more points, whether it be road geometry, whether there's existing sidewalk, whether that sidewalk is attached or detached, bike lanes and shoulder widths, road widths, all sorts of geometry aspects go into scoring. As far as economic development, it's based on BBLM, Big Approval Lands Model, and you get points on the basis of any jobs that could be created for projects, as well as
future developments of access. And mobility, route connectivity, you get points if it connects, better points if it connects an arterial and a collector, for example, less points if two collectors are being connected, and less points if it is a secondary route. Some things that go across both economic development and mobility, concurrency, you get into level of service, volume and capacity ratios, and if we're improving, for example, one or more intersections of regional significance, you get more points if it's in a failing state, less points if it's within 10% of failing, from a level of service standpoint. A very similar volume capacity ratio if it's on an adopted concurrency corridor, same thing, you get more points on the basis of it being in a failure state or close to a failure state. Comparison to the arterial atlas is another factor that's considered. You get points for that as well. And then some other things on the bottom, ways to pick up points or ranking, environmental impacts, NEPA and CEQA requirements, as well as permits. We get points if you're in a position where we have those. We also get public and agency, outside agency support. RTC is one of our larger support agencies for that. We get points on the basis of any utility partnerships for new service, not upgrades to any service, as well as the supported formal public outreach, particularly any adopted plans like the circulation plan in that sense. And also leveraging is a good part of that as well. You get points on the basis of how much percent of outside funding grants, whether it be other things as well.
And the development agreements too, we also leverage funds there.
Some of our aspects of the way the projects are broken down, one of the largest pieces on the right here, urban road projects. For example, our 119th Street corridor, 10th Avenue corridor, and 179th Street and I-5 is upcoming as well. And then we have our what we call OGP, our ongoing programs, the sidewalk and ADA, transportation safety, rural road, which on here only shows about 4%. The rural road does bridge across multiple different areas. For example, it's approximately 20% of the overall $200 million budget. And that's a 6-year cut, if you will, so some of those projects are nearing completion construction, and some are just entering into thoughts of design. For example, the 179th Street and 5 projects there.
Do those include the grants or just the counties?
This is everything. This in the next slide will actually show the pools of money where this $200 million comes from. So as Ali was saying, the sources of our revenue, county road fund is one of our go-tos, but we try to get as much grant funding, developer agreements, and real estate excise tax, this is the REIT group piece on the bottom there, as well as CAP through County Road Administration Board, which is the County Arterial Preservation Program. And TIP, the grade segment, traffic impact fees. So out of that $200 million, the dollar amounts are there in terms of what we where we get our pools of funding from.
That's the on 179th Street. We've got two categories: a developer agreement and a developer surcharge. Is the developer agreement the ones who are participating, and the surcharge the ones that follow afterward? Is that what the split is?
Both.
Okay, so if you're not in a developer agreement and you come in on that corridor, because when it gets lifted for everybody, where does that go? What pool does that go?
That'll be in TIF revenue because you'll have an increased TIF rate.
The projects that are in Urban Holding or that are part of the DA have a different rate?
They'll have what everybody will have the same rate. It's just because they went early, they have a different.
Some's broken as TIF and some's broken as surcharge. But together it makes the same amount.
It's the same amount.
Yeah.
So it's really going to be the same later on.
Okay. It's just, but there's one they're broken out for two reasons. One is because the development agreement also has a guarantee, which then the county can use to leverage other grant funding.
Okay.
And then the surcharge is they're basically agreeing to pay above mitigation that's required by code now. So that's a different line item. And so when the county goes to remove urban holding, they'll lift a new TIF rate. So I would assume that gray pie is going to get maybe a little bit bigger.
No, it does include the new TIF rate. I just can't include. We can't spend the money until the capital facilities plan is updated, and then I'll amend the 6-year program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you mind the question?
Do you
prioritize these internally? Is the public involved, or how do you go about? I mean, I see the factors, but
for the large capacity projects, the capital facilities plan project, we did go out. We revamped our ranking system about 2 years ago, maybe less time than now. I think it's time for you guys to make sure we weren't forgetting anything. But we went to the specialists. We went to the engineers. We asked them, you know, what should we be ranking safety with? This new highway safety manual. We went to CREDC. You know, what should we? Are we ranking economic development appropriately? All of our ranking system is consistent with all the council's plans and their standards, their codes, their guidelines. Whatever they have is all consistent. And so we rank about every 3 years, just depending on what we have in the program. And then also we went through the Regional Transportation Advisory Committee. We went to the Planning Commission. We went to NAC. And then we also have tables for public involvement for any open house we have on these projects, just to make sure we're just not forgetting anything to get public involvement. So we are enhancing our public involvement area in Clark County because we have a new PIO person who will help us with that. Helps moderate.
Thanks, Susan. Just add one more point. The comp plan goes through the public process, and that gets adopted by council. But then from the comp plan comes a list of projects to make sure that we can accommodate those and the comprehensive plan outline. And that's part of capital facilities plan. So those projects are outlined. So we take those projects based on priority. So there's development activities or economic development or other factors, but the projects have been listed and gone through the public process. So they're measured in writing from Good Management Act requirements and also from public. So that's the kind of better through that process. So now this phase implementation and how we prioritize and be based on growth, based on safety and other factors that we have.
I'm curious about the sidewalk ADA. That's obviously a retrofit situation. Does that decline over time as we retrofit?
Well, it's the ADA kind of component on this is pretty large. We're a little bit behind on that, so we do have that mix. We have a couple large sidewalk projects in the hopper right now, such as 68th Street, Highway 99, St. John's, is a partnership with City of Vancouver. But, you know, if you look at this, about $2 million of that is grant funded. And so, and then we also have the Isabel Avenue from 99th to 112th, again, about $500,000 is grant funded. And so, it's a very small amount of road fund that goes for the sidewalk program, but we took a sidewalk inventory. How many sidewalks do we have on the inventory?
The defense?
Yeah.
We found almost 7,000 locations.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be declining anytime soon, Jamie.
Okay.
So you'll have that done by the end of the year.
But then you also have the ADA compliance and, you know, revamping the ramps and then plus the signal stuff, and there's a lot of things that we must do under, it's under law that we have to do that.
Well, just to add on the ADA, we are working on to update or develop an ADA transition plan. So from there, we'll have identified location priorities and based on the findings from the community and victories that we've been doing.
And then my group would be seeking more grant funding, additional grant funding that we haven't had before to support that, so we can leverage that.
So on those ADA ones, is it replacement of existing ramps or places that don't have any ramps at all?
They're both.
Yes.
They vary.
Yeah, because it's
reevaluated also.
It seems like they change something all the time, and it goes from like, you know, the single ramps to the double ramps to the double ramps in different locations, and we find out something doesn't work. The ones we're putting in now are so far in the intersection, cars pull right through them and possibly hit a pedestrian.
Yeah, we're reevaluating how we prioritize those right now on the level until ADA transition plan is developed, because there's some ADA ramps that are really functional. Mm-hmm. And we go replace it with a little bit less compliance, but we replace them with a cost of a lot of money. So we're trying to actually develop four criteria and try to keep some of them as functional. Maybe not, it doesn't meet all the standards, but still functional, but then work on the ones that there's no ramps.
That seems to make sense.
If it's a priority route for a senior citizen or a person with a disability that they want to get the bus or things like that, and that's why we decided to do the AD transition plan too, so we can have a priority list.
But we're also going to really group together with disabled people who actually utilize the ramps and utilize the push buttons or whatever, so we can know they're doing the right thing. So, any more questions? So this is a 6-year proposed construction schedule. So this is when construction starts on these projects. It does not include design, it does not include permitting and the engineering and the right and the real estate acquisition that we go through. So we are working on a lot more than this, but this is just when we plan to go to construction. So all the grade projects are under construction or completed projects, like 10th Avenue, for example, the bridge over Whipple Creek, that's done. Still on here, we have punch list items. 119th Street East, we are almost done with that. We still have large, about a couple $1 million next year to finish that up. Pacific Highway, that was the Pacific Highway culvert that failed. I don't know if you guys remember that.
North of the Center.
Yeah, that was done in 2 weeks. And the County Road Administration Board supported that project. Highway 99 preservation, we are actually doing an asphalt overlay and some ADA ramp replacement. And we're doing the ramps this year, doing the construction or the asphalt overlay next year. And the climb line sidewalk has been completed. The yellow projects are fully funded projects or grant committed projects. Most of you guys are familiar with some of these projects, like 99th Street over Leitner Landfill, from 94th to 503. Highway 99, we're going to be making some improvements to that intersection. Manley Road, that is a safety project. It's we're overlaying the road, we're fixing 3 culverts and doing some guardrail in that section and along those sections of Manley. We have a couple of traffic signal optimization projects. We have some bridge scour projects, as you can see up there. And then also, we just got some grant money to design Mason Creek culvert. And then 68th Street East, that's a project I just had mentioned about a partnership with the City of Vancouver. And then Munch Road, that's another preservation project, mostly grant funded. Very little road funds going into that one. The blue projects are the urban holding projects. 10th Avenue, we're going to complete that corridor. 15th Avenue, I-5-179th Street, and the Delft Valley realignment. 179th Street at 50th and 29th. So those are fully funded. The plan is to build those projects within 6 years, contingent on the funding plan that the council has adopted based on August 20th via resolution. And also, the white projects are the next tier projects of the ongoing programs. The next tier, we always have to have something in the hopper to keep the program going. So currently, with the next tier projects, we are doing some traffic modeling. We need to know what we need to do on those projects. Do we need to blow out the intersections? Do we need roundabouts? Do we need left turns, right turns? Do we need 4 lanes? Do we need 2 lanes? So that's what we're determining with the traffic modeling. Once we get that done, we'll start design, we'll start scoping and then design. The 6-year is the ongoing programs. Chris had mentioned that. The ongoing programs is about $89 million of the $200 million for the 6-year program. These have their own evaluation systems, safety, preservation, bridges, sidewalks, and just a few miscellaneous things that we work on. Any questions?
The Ward Road project, I was just trying to envision that. What is that entailing just because most of that's all developed and completed there. What what is it?
Well, right now it's coming up as a capacity issue with the macro level modeling that the planning department does. And so we are taking that corridor and doing the micro level modeling to figure out what needs to be done and what we can do to fix that capacity issue in that area. Okay. So we're in the process of doing that right now. So what are some next steps?
Thank you.
So the next steps. We're meeting with Lead right now. We'll go ahead and I'll have a planning commission hearing tonight. Hopefully they'll recommend the program for the council. And then I'll meet with the council to adopt the program before the budget's adopted. We met with the council on April 16th. We met with the planning commission already for a work session. And we have now pulled the CEPA on the program. So we'll continue to adopt the program.
Are you looking for a motion from D for support?
That'd be great if you guys could do that.
It's mostly informational, I think, but yeah. I mean, it looks like you guys are on the right track. I have one question just about coordination with the city of Vancouver.
Okay.
Because you know, the county's kind of in a tough spot where the city of Vancouver can annex things, and you guys are making a significant investment in certain corridors, and you make that investment, and then all of a sudden the city annexes it, and you don't have the long-term tax revenue to support the investment you just made. What are you guys doing with the city, and is there, you know, are you guys playing fair that way? Is there communication and coordination?
That's really good for us.
You want to answer that, Mark?
I think what we have done over time is to develop our consistency of standards and the roadways and the classification. I think in the old days we did the road approval a lot different than we are, and we mainly concentrate on a lot of arterials. But a lot of our standard is very close to the city of Vancouver to make sure that if there's annexation or anything like that, that they inherit the roadways that have sidewalks and a lot of urban amenities.
And I also
we don't have direct content in terms of here's our 6-year plan, review it, we can't be comfortable. There's understanding that we try to make sure that stands are close to the channel.
And I also want to add the sidewalk project that we have with the city of Vancouver. It's a joint grant application. So I worked with them to get that together, Chris and I did. And it's not all of our money. And then plus, I look at it as a public dollar anyway, and what's best for the public.
Do the REIT funds apply across the board, or are they limited to like resurfacing a road, or just the ramps, or just the sidewalks? Or
REIT too can be used for any capital project. I think it can be used for capital projects for design, engineering, right of way, and construction. And
that's
then also for parks,
it.
Parks design, and for parks construction, not okay. right away. So okay. that's what REIT 2, the part of REIT 2 can be used for.
The REIT has just significantly gone up, or is going to.
January 1st.
January 1st.
Right. So, I mean, I'm sure you guys are aware of that. Right? I mean, that's going to boost your revenue, right? As a percentage of.
It's state. So the state allocated.
Unless Ryan fixes it.
For when those increase. Ryan's not paying attention. There's a county portion. What portion do you get from the state's
REIT
dollars that they take in?
No, I don't know.
Mark, do you know the answer to that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I thought in the way they changed the REIT, the state portion goes up quite a bit, the local. They you know it's a graduated scale that you
the local stays fixed, it's just the state portion that's adjusting.
Right. Exactly. So I'm not sure
I don't know if
the local side will actually go up
benefit from that or not, or just goes towards state. I don't know.
We should. It kind of that's a you know, but anyway, that's beyond our
January 1st though that happens. That's so what happens is it's $500,000 I believe.
I was just looking for the
dollars for sales of any property below $500,000 sees a reduced rate of like 0.2%, 0.18%, and then over 500, you see a graduated scale of increase and substantial increase when you go like starting at 1.2 million, and then it caps out at
$3 million
or 2.5, somewhere in that range it caps out with a max increase of 1.75%, somewhere in that range.
It's a big increase.
So just so you know, realistic, and that starts January 1st. There is supposed discussion that there will be exemptions for raw land sales in commercial buildings to help with economic expansion and growth and for not affecting affordable housing. But we'll see if that happens in this next legislative session or not. As it sits right now, everything gets hit with the increase, but it's only on the state side. So I don't know if you see benefit or not. Obviously, if you do, something to take into context with your projections.
Because it would be, you know, if people are trying to figure out ways around it, and that, you know, those probably be, but it should be a net boost in revenue, I would imagine.
It'd be great. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that'd be something, I guess, good to know.
Yeah.
You get the benefit from. Hopefully, that's the case.
Hopefully, I don't know if it does a local level, but I would hope some of it would. We're paying it, or, you know, every local is.
Do we want to make a motion to support? Or is everyone out on it?
So moved.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
You have your
thank you.
Thank you. You guys are great. Thank you.
That's what I said. Standing and shooting.
Yeah, there was a shooting at Smith Tower.
And the guy still in his room is a quarter hour.
It was an 80-year-old gentleman. And one person.
Don't upset those.
One person died.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so like downtown around Smith Tower.
So do not drive around Smith Tower.
I think that design is kind of scary. That secret of design.
The 80-year-old man is the one that was shooting. That's gonna be. That will be.
any public comment?
It will be.
I stole my idea.
Yeah. Steve.
We have a dish on this one. We're still struggling with some flooding issues as well.
Did you say flooding?
Yes.
Final plat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
what's
it? It comes back at, you know, calls that were made as many as years ago, sometimes in a plat, and then you have to see the things that need to be at the gate when it comes time to report. And Mitch, at one of our meetings, brought up that he was interested in getting into, there's some flagging software apparently that's available to address some of the issues that we were talking about. He was surprised when he came here that the county didn't utilize a flagging software process. I'm not familiar with him, so you guys could just hear. So he seems like a support staff. I don't know what the cost is or any of that, but it was Mitch's idea, so
yeah, and all the that's a good point. You know, we have a plotting group. I don't know if I can put you on an email if you're to, you know, that talks about just final plot. How can we can make it smoother? How's it going? This and that. Yeah. I haven't met in a while, but it reminds me that last time we met, Marty was so Mitch.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he knows the group exists. I think I mentioned it to him before, but
I mean, it's not the biggest problem, but it's pernicious and just never seems to go away. Seems like something that if there was, you know, you could notate, annotate the file over the years, especially on long, large projects, you know, so that the next generation of staff doesn't have to, you know, revisit the code because there's a target or event development agreements in place or something.
And then, if I think it even gets into the core of the minutia, even the simplest things on the plots, too. That's what I've heard we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, do you want to? Would you want to get your group together and then see what items there are, and then we could add it as an agenda item after a meeting, or?
Yeah, I'd probably get the group together and then.
Or at least send out some emails and find out.
Right, find out if there's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't
you? You know, you're kind of in the middle of it. Have you been hearing people?
Yeah.
Not to put you on the
should
spot, but
should be. Yeah.
What's that?
We don't do flats.
Well,
what are they?
I know you don't.
But yes, we do hear that there.
Yeah.
Is it the routing?
It's just determination. So, you know, I can give you, in this case, the exact example was back in 2016, we had to make an election what code for setback requirements. We're at like phase 4 or 5 in the project, and going to record plat, and it's like your setbacks are all wrong. They don't comply with phase 1 of, you know, of course, one of those are your setbacks. Well, there's a development agreement in the interim that changed, that made the setback election for future phases. That should have followed through all the way up to the project. For whatever reason, now we had to get, you know, Susan involved and higher up staff, and it just became became another negotiation that should never have happened.
Yeah.
How does the software have? How does the software?
So my understanding is from this Mitch's conversation, so I really don't know, I'm not the subject matter expert, but my understanding was that as you enter these plats into this software program that monitors all the various aspects of the requirements for the plat, and as they're completed or as they're progressed along the way, notations get made so that staff can see what, there's a place to make notes as to why this particular, why did setbacks change between phase 2 and phase 3, right? That should have been annotated somewhere in the planning process so the future reviewers would know. We would have to guess.
It seems like they have a way to track that now in the system they have.
But all I'm saying is that was the idea of the conversation we had, so I'd just be interested in drawing up on that. I'm not losing the solution.
Okay. Well, I'll see if there's. I'll take the pulse of the group, and I mean, we try to get together. Like I said, it hasn't been a while, but we were trying to get together at least once a year, or every 6 months, or depending upon what was needed. Taking temperature, seeing how it's going. So.
Okay.
I'm going to be gone 10 days in October, though, so I don't know what I'll get done this month.
It is that time of year.
Yeah. I just wanted to. No, I'm not. Take care of Dad.
Sure. With that, we'll adjourn. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Melissa, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Usually, you guys are the problem solvers. That's why I wondered if you had 6 days. Yeah, you and Dad and stuff keep things.